Yeah, the screen. We'll get that fixed. We're having a little bit of difficulty there with that speaker, and I'm not sure exactly what was going on making that noise. I hope it will not continue. We shall see about that. A few things I wanted to share with you. Of course, the buzz right now going around is two different things. One in the buzz is the Governor Northam's latest mandate about masks. Let me explain how that works with the church. First of all, he does not mention church specifically in the guidelines that he gave, but he does mention if you congregate inside more than 10 people, same type of thing with the 6 feet. And by the way, if you hear it, we put chairs out and the families can be that close. If you're not in the family, you can separate the chair out, just move it out to be a little more spaced with that and keep those distances. The VAIB with Eddie Aleph shared this. He says, Governor Northam is now mandating or ordering masks be worn by those 10 years old and older in public buildings, businesses, and of course with the terminology the way it was, he would say churches as well, beginning Friday, this past Friday the 29th. Masks may be removed in certain instances, such as when you preach or special singers at the platform, those that have trouble breathing with a mask. Now, I've heard people say, you know, I can't breathe when I have a mask on. Well, if you don't have a mask on, I'm not going to come around and ask you, are you not wearing a mask because you're having a breathing problem, a health problem? You know, in that HIPAA, I think, gets in the way of that. But at the same time, from our standpoint, we want to encourage you that if you do wear a mask, that is fine. We want you to wear a mask. If you decide not to wear a mask, with me, that's fine. The biggest thing is we're seeking to comply the best we can. You won't get in trouble with it. It goes on to say that it's not going to be enforced by the police. Robbie's not going to get up and arrest anybody. Enforcement at all is going to be for those that are in charge of the business, and in their eyes, that would be me. And they're saying that the health department could come after me and could seek to shut down the church, you know, if we are defiant attitude against the rule. Now, I know Walmart hadn't even applied yet totally as of this weekend, I understand. And we have put out, as they have suggested, with David Gibbs III, the attorney, sent information about having a disclaimer, and you see it out there, it was on the announcements here, if I can get out of that. Paul, come on up here and do that for me. And shares a little bit of that statement and pretty much saying, you know, by your choice to come to church, you waive your right to sue the church if you get the coronavirus. I would hope that by scripture you waive your right as a Christian to sue another Christian. That's biblical, okay? But anyway, so we cross the T's and dot the I's. We're trying to do those things. But we have shared with you, I think we'll be fine. You're welcome to wear masks. You're welcome, if it's your choice for whatever reason. If you don't want to wear a mask, that is fine as well. We're just trying to comply the best we can so that I don't get in trouble and that we don't have any attitudes about it. Speaking of attitudes, we need to be careful about how we respond to other people in talking. Do we have any visitors here? Never been here before? Okay, everybody knows me then. Thank you, Noah Hart. We don't know why that's happening yet. I think you know my heart well enough to know that what I'm about to say, but the devil is in the building today. All right. I don't know if we don't have a microphone either. Start talking about it. You might have to unplug that speaker.
It's both of them, Pastor.
Is both of them doing
it? Yeah. Oh, well, that's a bad thing.
All right, as I speak up here, I want you to know, for as with our response to things, when people are listening to us in this world, we're talking to them. As believers, we need to maintain a good testimony in our attitudes and our actions, etc. So I just encourage you to keep that in mind. One of the things I think comes into play with that is, let me see if I can find it here. Franklin Graham sent an email out yesterday that was sharing about, I think we just have to do without sharing, asking churches across the nation to pray today. It says, as our nation convulses with pain, anger, and hatred, this is a moment for Christians to shine for the Lord, who is the Prince of Peace. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, your anger. Yet each sundown is bringing with it the darkness of more violence and destruction in more cities. Scripture often, by the way, is talking about, of course, with the riots over the George Floyd death that continues, and I just don't understand that at all. I hope that there's no Christians that would be involved in something like that. But at the same time, we're not to be involved in any kind of violence of that nature. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And it's that is to be our mandate. And so it means doing what we personally can do to right the wrongs that are around us that we see. And I encourage you to be actively speaking out and letting your position be known and letting our stance be known. We can disagree with our governor, and I do. There are many more deaths that have taken place in abortion this year than through coronavirus ever. Okay? And the same thing goes through with any war. There's more deaths through abortion. And so there are things that are decisions that are made that we can disagree and do disagree with, but we're still to honor the person in the position that God has allowed him to be, whether it be God's will for him to have been there or whether we were supposed to get out more in numbers and vote. I understand there are some Christians that didn't even vote. Those people that didn't vote cannot open their mouth to say a word against the governor that's there because they did not have the gumption to even go out and cast a vote. Now, whether he was still gotten there or not, they'll know. But it's our responsibility to do those things that we can, and we're to pray, and we're to have the right attitude as well as actions along the way. And I just encourage you with that as you're thinking about and talking and discussing those things with others you come in contact. And be careful on social media as well. Bending on social media can sometimes get kicked back with the wrong kind of a testimony. So I encourage you to be careful in how you share the things that you do. We are to speak out and speak up, but we are to do it with the right tone about us. Also, a couple other things by way of announcement. Beth Jones is coming with the shoebox information, so I'll have her to share first.
Good morning. I just wanted to reiterate that we are packing shoeboxes this year. We got an email from Franklin Graham, but there's going to be probably less numbers because, you know, some families have had hardships and not going to be able to do that. So I just hope that y'all will pray and bring what you can. We always need soap and washcloths and school supplies, toothbrushes, etc. And continue to save those ink cartridges. Each month I've been able to do it almost 10 a month. That's the limit, so I have a credit so I can buy some school supplies we may not get. And keep saving your shoe boxes and ask your friends and family also for like used color books. We can always tear the pages out that are not used. So just keep in mind, and you can bring your stuff to me. I have a big place in the basement. I'm sorting through everything. So just and old stuffed animals that are in good shape, you know, fit in a box. So just we're going to have to really work hard this year and see how many boxes that we can do, because I feel like there will be less boxes and Keep in mind that Samaritan's Purse has found out that one shoebox, there's up to 7 people get saved from one shoebox. So just keep that in mind. The churches are started, and it's a great way to get the gospel out. And it does take a big army to get it out. So I appreciate y'all's help with that.
All right, thank you. All right, a couple of things before we get into our singing this morning. Our deacons need to meet after the service. We may go over to the choir rehearsal room in the office building, but we're going to be discussing as far as going forward. Our last deacon meeting, we decided that we would just go with Sunday morning services and Wednesday night up through the 31st, and then we would meet today and decide what it's going to look like going forward. We also anticipate, I guess, another announcement from the governor coming up this week, I believe, hopefully, letting us know about stage 2 or possibly or what's coming next in the reopening cycle. So keep that as a matter of prayer. And pray for us as leaders in the church that we have God's mind as we go forward and can do so in the best way possible. I appreciate your patience with us as we've been over here in the gym. I tell you, out of all of you, I'm the least one that wanted to be over here in this gym to have a service because I know some of the difficulties of it. Some of it is what you're sitting on right there. But anyway, we'll try to keep things moving and give you the opportunity to stand. And then today I'd like to have, I shared last Sunday's coming, I'd like to have a testimony service opportunity. And we're going to give you time for that a little bit later. If you'll be thinking about if you would like to give a testimony and what you would like to say, we'll have Paul come around with a microphone and so you can be heard. But we'll be able to share your testimony of what God is doing. And I'll say a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. I have a card here from David and Benita Bass. It says, David and I wish to thank you for all your prayers, cards, calls, and messages sent during his recent stay in the hospital. They all mean so much to us both. It is so good to know that so many continue to keep us in mind, even though everything else, with everything else that's going on. May God richly bless each of you in him, David and Anita. So appreciate that and continue to pray for him as he gets over the UTI there. Darren was telling me, Darren Mann, can I tell you got saved on March 15th here at our revival services that we started that Sunday. Praise the Lord for that. And he's been back. He was back here last week and him and his wife and this past Wednesday night here at the church. He shares about his daughter, Brittany Mann, if we could be in prayer for her. Brittany, Stephen, I'll let you pray for this as you come up in just a moment. But Brittany has 2 blood clots. She's only 26 years old. Pray about the medication. There's about $600 a month, I think, for the medication they want to put her on. So if you just keep her in prayer, we would appreciate that. And appreciate him being faithful and being here with us. So, let's go ahead and begin with our singing. We'll have some scripture and prayer in just a moment. Our first song, David comes to lead us, please.
We'll sing, "To God Be the Glory." Let's stand as we sing, please.
Oh,
Scripture with us and have prayer this morning.
All right, good morning. We're going to first read Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that we have the ability to gather together once again and in your house. And God, we thank you for a beautiful day, a beautiful weather in which to do that today. I pray, God, that you would just be in all of our lives. And I pray that we would be the salt and the light that you command us to be during this dark and unsavory time. I pray that you would be with the unrest that's all about us and the cities all over our country. I pray that you would give us as Christians your peace, and that we would be able to bless others and show others that peace that they can have. I pray, God, that you would be with this special request, Brittany Mann, with the blood clots. I pray that you would have your hand of healing upon her. I pray that you would allow the medications to work well for the clots, and I pray that you would be with the family and meet the need financially for that medication. I pray, God, that you would just bless our hearts today through the service, through the testimonies will be given. And I pray, God, that as we go out and into the world, that we would take the blessing, take the message that we received today, and that we would just be, another that light and that witness for you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Amber and Julia have a special for us next, so if they come, please.
Thank you.
when I first started as a teenager doing special music in our church, and whether I was getting up in front reading scripture or giving a little devotional eventually to our other teens and to different things, I was so nervous. I would shake. And I thought, maybe that's how vocalists have the quivering in there. Well, I found out it's not quite the same, but we have a tendency to get a little nervous when we're up here. And especially the younger you are, the less that you've done it in front of other people, doesn't make any difference what age you are, the more nervous you get. I just want to thank the Lord for some of the young people that we have that are willing to give special music, and some of these that are learning to play the piano and minister that way. I think that's wonderful.
Amen.
And I praise the Lord for it. I wanted just to share a little bit from God's Word about giving testimonies first. And what I want to share, giving testimonies unto the Lord is primarily is praising God for who He is and for what He has done. And that's primarily what a testimony is. It's not really talking about ourselves, but it's talking about what God has done in our life. And to that, bringing praise unto the Lord. It should be verbally according to Psalm 145:4, obviously. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. We are to declare amongst each other verbally. Psalm 105:1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Make known His deeds among the people. We've got to speak up and testify of that. It should be done willingly, according to Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 29. And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. And that should be something as well. When we give a testimony, when we give tithe, when we give service, when we give special music, anything that we give as an offering unto the Lord, it should be from a willing heart. And so I encourage you with that. Do it willingly. And then there's a result seen in Psalm 40 and verse 3. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Many shall see it and fear and trust. There are two things there as a result. The proper attitude toward God is fear. That deals with reverence primarily. Their respect that pays attention to God. And we want to have that as a cause of our testimony time. And the other one is a proper action toward God. And that's trust. To believe. And it's certainly a part of it with salvation as we are to put our trust in, receive what the Lord Jesus Christ has done as our Savior. But it also means to rely upon. We are to rely upon the Lord. And so, as we have testimony of the greatness of God, who He is, and what He has done, hopefully people would understand that and have a greater reverence toward God and a better reliance upon God as we trust Him. All of us come into this world, we're born into this world as sinners, lost, separated from God and traveling on the same boat and the same destination toward hell. It's not until the Lord Jesus Christ opens our eyes with the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ to see what we are, to see what He has provided through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, that we trust Him by faith and receive His forgiveness. And God begins to transform our lives. We're told that it's by God's grace that we're saved. It is by God's goodness that we are changed. And it's for God's glory that we should make Him known unto others. And so I hope that you'll join us in just a moment as we have opportunity to tell what great things God has done for us. And we ought to do it very specifically. That's why David's coming to lead us in the next song. And we'll let you stand one more time. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And we are to be specific to tell what the Lord has done. David?
644.
Well, you don't have to.
I'll just tell myself it's 644. Stand, please.
When upon the hills you are endless lost, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, and too many blessings may have won by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, may have won by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done.
First week
they were announcing a furlough in my office. And, you know, I've been blessed for so many years. They've let me work part-time there. And, I mean, that's just amazing. That's all God in and of itself. But I just knew they were going to say my name, that I was being furloughed, and it wasn't me. So, anyway, it's just things that, you know, seem hard and seem difficult at the time, they end up being blessings, truly blessings in the past.
Amen. Who wants to be next?
Not just that I've been able to be home to take care of my family, but my father-in-law, who had heart surgery at the exact same time that I was home, I was able to be there to take care of him. And also, it's given me time to just get closer to the Lord, time to pray, time to read the Word. And it's given me just more of a conviction that when I do go back to work full time, to not stop that, to just stay in prayer, even at work, to stop, take the time to pray, and I'm so thankful for this time that I've had.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Nick?
Kids and their spouses are still working. God's been providing them, and thank you for that. God's been really good to keeping us safe for all the projects we've been doing around the house. And we just praise God for giving us the opportunity and the help to be able to do it. Thank you for it.
Amen. Amen. Who's next?
Waiting years to hear the gospel. So if you have time at home,
go to Samaritan's Purse and look at the website and look at some of those videos of those kids and what has been done just through this ministry. So I just want to praise God. It's not anything I do. It's Him. It's all Him. And I want to praise Him for just using me in that way. And let's pack some shoeboxes.
Amen. Who's next?
When you work with people of like faith, you just share your burdens and share your praises, and that's just such a wonderful thing. Thank you very much.
Amen.
I'm Stephen Breedemeyer, for those that don't know, but I just wanted to thank God that, again, I'm still working. Some of the people in my company aren't as blessed. Some people have been furloughed. So it's just a blessing to still be working, especially with all the kids at home and keeping food on the table. And they really enjoy that I've gotten to work from home about 3 days a week, which has been nice for them. But I also wanted to thank God because I look back and I had actually applied for a job in a hospital. Probably would have been more money, probably would have been a little bit of an increase, and I really thought I had it. After a couple of interviews, it seemed like things were going well, and then all of a sudden, they changed their mind. And I don't know why, you know, that happened, but then I look back and I just see what a blessing that is. A lot of floors in the hospital, people have been furloughed and for the time being, and you also don't know what kind of exposures or risks that you would have run into if that had been the case. So just thank God, even when something doesn't look like it worked out for you, maybe it did. You don't know what else is around the corner. So don't be discouraged when things like that happen. And I think I can speak for a lot of the other people here, too. I think that even, you know, as big of an impact as it was on Ashley, I think that what God did for Amy was a big encouragement for everybody. I mean, being in the medical field, and hearing the initial things that were going on. In my mind, it doesn't really make sense that she made it through. So I think, you know, a lot of that really reveals, you know, how God still is working, His hand still on all of us today.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Do we have a few mic? Yeah, I was going to say, come in toward the end of your side, too.
My name is Mike Crist, and I just want to give praise to the Lord. He's met our needs. Most of you know I've been unemployed for some time now. And but He has made sure my kids are eating, my grandkids are eating, and we have clothes. And I'm thankful that we had this gym to meet in. Thankful for the hard chair. Pray for more padding. But you know, the Lord's been good to me and my family, and you know, praise God.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
My name's Jennifer Stewart. Don't worry, Mike, I have plenty over here on my cushion. On your same thing of, I want to praise God for provisions. hardworking husband. He still has his job through all of this as well, and getting paid extra. I mean, that's a blessing all in itself, and it's allowed me to always stay at home with my kids. And on that note, the kids are at home, so I've been thrown into the, homeschool parenting. We had a rough couple weeks, but God has provided and given me the abilities and the strength and grace, lots and lots of grace. And provisions again. I don't know if any of you in Powhatan that have kids have taken advantage of the food that the county has provided. We have, and it's been just a huge blessing.
Amen.
Because I'm homeschooling my kids, I don't have to think, okay, I've got to fix these meals. No, I have breakfast done, I have lunch done, and that's because the county has provided food. It's been a huge blessing, and I just want to thank God for all the provisions during this time, and that's it.
Amen. And anybody else?
Hi, I'm Ruth Stewart. I just want to thank God for his faithfulness over all these years since the time that I came to know him as a little girl of 7 or 8 years old. I was out of my job for about 2 months, but God has proved himself faithful in supplying every need. And recently, I want to just thank God for answers to prayer, and on a particular day of May 18th, we had a great need in our home. My son just said, I think we need to pray. It was my sister Sandy and Jeff. The Bible tells us, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And I can tell you, the Lord Jesus is there. And in just a very short time, he answered in a mighty way. I just want to give him the Lord.
Yeah.
Recently, the choir sang a song, and some of the words said, he knows my name, he sees each tear that falls, and he hears each time I call. So thankful that to God we serve.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Where is it?
Thank you. I am going to ask you, Gordon Parker is still here with us, by the grace of God. Even if those who wanted to give up, he's not giving up.
That's right.
As I told my friend Lynn, she has 25% chance to live. But he let them on Gordon Parker.
Yeah.
Because God is bigger than any man.
That's right.
And just please keep the family in prayer, because they need it. The prayer is one of prayer to get him out of the hospital and get him back to the family.
Right.
But please pray, because prayer is one.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Yeah, his friend, Mr. Proctor, has been in the hospital there, been close to death, and praise the Lord for the prayers that have been lifted up. Anyone else? We have a wonderful God, and he is worthy of praise. We will sing one more time as David comes and leads us, and that's what we're singing.
Well, before we sing, though, since I get to be last, I get my testimony next. My name is David Schultz. I was listening to some of the testimonies, and I found some of them amusing, and I'm going to tell you why. For those of you that found it a great blessing for you to be at home, I found it a great blessing for you to be at home because you were off of the road and I could drive. For those of you that don't know, the state police have lifted the restriction on the interstate so we can haul down by the scales and not be bothered with the DOT and stuff, and that's been a great blessing, Bobby. And I'd like to see some of that stay like that. But look, folks, God is bigger than all of this. And it ought to cause us all to think different about some things. Where is our faith? Who is our faith in? My faith is not in the governor, I can tell you that. Man. My faith is not in the government. My faith is not in Donald Trump. My faith is not in Nancy Pelosi, for sure. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His. He's bigger than all of this. I had an opportunity to tell some people that very thing that we're trying to say, oh, God didn't have anything to do with. Got to tell them, folks, so that a whole lot of them could hear, hey, there's nothing in this vast universe that God doesn't have His hand in. And so we can rest in His promise that He knows where you are, where I am. He knows who's going to leave this world with this virus and who's not going to leave until it's their turn. We can rejoice in that. I don't want to make us say hallelujah. Amen. He's in control of it all. Number three, He's worthy of our worship. Y'all didn't know that's number three, but it is. No number on your page. Let's stand for a second.
Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy.
Every one of us ought to give thanks for all things. And God has emphasized that specifically with some things. In verses 1 through 5, there were testings they went through. In 9 through 12, chastisement. And verses 16 through 18, there were consequences because of their disobedience that came. In verses 22 through 27, there was trouble, despair in life, trials that come to their lives. And in each case, as they went through the situation, that they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord gave deliverance, and He made this statement: "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31 all have the same message. When we look at God's message that He gives to us in Scripture in this particular passage, we're to give thanks unto the Lord. We're to praise God in front of others. Before the children of men. And that's not just in a praise service such as what we've had here today, thanking the Lord in front of us as believers, but we're to do that out in front of others, the children of men, mankind that we come in contact with. We ought to be praising the Lord in those situations. Even when we're going through the trials and when we're going through the difficulties and the testings that come our way. And in each case, we are to testify of God's goodness. And I hope that that's your particular heart. God desires for us to do the same today. He wants us, first of all, to praise Him before others so that they can see what Jesus Christ is clearly like. And He wants us to understand that God is still working on us, shaping us into what He wants us to be ultimately. That's like the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, I remind you of, where it says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various kind of trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Brings about patience. God takes the difficulties, the trials, and He can bring all of those things, work all of those things for our good to cause us to grow and to develop into the Christian that He wants us to be here and now and ultimately in God's presence. During the Great Depression, a good man lost his job. He exhausted his savings and he forfeited his home. His grief was multiplied by the sudden death of his precious wife. The only thing he had left was his faith, and that was weakening. One day he stopped to watch some men who were doing some stonework on a church building. One of the men was skillfully chiseling a triangular piece of rock. Not seeing the spot where it would fit, the onlooker asked, "Where are you going to put that?" And the man pointed toward the top of the building and he said, "You see that little opening up there near the spire? That's where it goes. I'm shaping it down here so it will fit up there." Tears filled the man's eyes as he walked away. God has spoken to him through those words, and he found new meaning in his difficult situation. God is not through with us. He's still shaping us down here so that we'll fit up there. And so as you're going through whatever circumstance, whatever difficulty in your life, whatever trial you're facing, remember, God is working in you so that He can work through you. He's doing that on you and in your life so that we will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord that He is still working on me, because it's another assurance that I'm His child.
Amen.
And I praise the Lord that He gives us an opportunity to have a service such as this today, to hear the praises of many that share, and know and see and hear how God has worked in your lives, that we may be emboldened to speak out and share what God is doing in our lives, not just here, but with others. I pray that you would join me in doing that. Remember, He's shaping us down here, so we're good up there. Father, I pray that as we close this service today, you may help our hearts to be open to receive your praise as testimony of what you have done to others, and that you would embolden us to be able to speak out, stand up for the truth of what you're doing in our lives as well. May we speak that truth in a loving way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I'm just going to close the service with that today. Thank you so much. Our time is about up. I appreciate you coming. Don't forget, two things, meet and meeting after here. Whatever we decide as far as going forward, if there are going to be changes especially, we'll be getting in touch with you. Right now, the next service is this Wednesday at 7:30 in our auditorium for the prayer meeting. And then as you leave today, at the doors, the offering plates will be there where you drop your tithes into that. Thank you again for faithfully giving during this time. God bless you. You are dismissed.